glides through the sky and forms an arc around a rocky mountain peak. Paramount, a Viacom company. Gleaming blue lines in the form of a C-shape and an arrow shape come together against a black background. Canon. The lines fly out past the screen. A shadowy underground car park. The Canon Group, Inc. presents Charles Bronson. A Golan Globus production. A J. Lee Thompson film. Death Wish 4, The Crackdown. Starring Kay Lenz. John P. Ryan. Perry Lopez. Soon Tech O. And George Dickerson as Detective Reiner. Co-starring Dana Barron, Mike Moroff, James Purcell, Jesse Dabson, Tom Everett, Connie Hare, Michael Russo, Peter Shirako. A slim, smartly dressed woman in a white blouse and grey business suit comes into the gloomy car park. Music composed and performed by Paul McCallum, Valentine McCallum and John Bisharat, edited by Peter Lee Thompson. The woman looks through her handbag as she walks through the car park. Art director Whitney Brooke Wheeler. Director of photography Gideon Porath. Executive producers Menachem Golan and Yoram Globus. Based on characters created by Brian Garfield. Written by Gail Morgan Hickman. Produced by Pancho Kona. Directed by J. Lee Thompson. The woman arrives at a black BMW, unlocks the door and gets into the driver's seat. The woman, who has crimped shoulder-length blonde hair, slides her key into the ignition and tries to start the car. The woman sighs. She glances up from her dashboard and a look of concern falls across her face. A shadowy male figure, his arms folded, stands in the middle of the car park staring at her car. The woman watches the unmoving figure, then nervously turns the ignition key again. She looks back up at the windscreen and now sees two men staring at her. The woman licks her lips frantically, willing the engine to start. Now three men watch the car, standing still and implacable like statues. The woman quickly locks the car doors. The men remain rooted to the spot. The woman feverishly twists the key, then looks up again. The men have all gone. She glances around, puzzled, then holds her hand to her mouth and heaves a nervous sigh. She glances towards the passenger window. One of the men pops up and stares at her, his face covered by a stocking mask. The man leers at her, then smashes a crowbar into the passenger window. Another man pops up outside the driver's window and smashes it with a bar. The third man slams his crowbar onto the windscreen. The woman covers her head and sinks down onto the seats as the men attack the car. Having bust a hole in the driver's window, one of them reaches his hand through and opens the door. The woman desperately hangs onto the car interior as the men try to drag her out. Kicking and fighting, she's pulled out of the car and dragged across the car park. They lay her down on one of the parking bays. Two of the attackers hold her arms while the third slaps her across the face. He slaps her again, then punches her full in the face. He laughs to his friends, then rips off the woman's blouse. The man looks up to see Paul Kersey staring at him from across the car park. Kersey, 60-ish with greying hair and a moustache, watches the attackers.
Who the fuck are you?
Kersey steps forward and pulls a pistol out of the pocket of his long black leather coat.
Death.
He shoots the first attacker in the chest, then the second. The third attacker runs away and Kersey wounds him in the chest and leg. The attacker tries to limp away with Kersey following him, gun poised. The attacker casts frantic glances at cold-eyed Kersey, strolling behind him. The attacker staggers towards the car park exit, and Kersey steps over to a chain. He pulls it and a shutter slams down, blocking off the exit. The helpless attacker limps towards Kersey.
Please. Please. Please, don't. Don't do it, please. Please don't. Please.
Kersey shoots the man in the chest and he spins round, collapsing onto his front. Kersey steps over to the man and turns him over with his foot. Kersey's own dead face stares back at him. Kersey steps back, wide-eyed and panting nervously. Suddenly, Kersey wakes up in bed, his face bathed in sweat.
Traffic on the 101 extremely light heading into downtown Los Angeles. You can expect clear skies today with temperatures in the high 80s in the Civic Center, about 10 degrees warmer in the San Fernando Valley. You're listening to KBLA.
A large concrete and glass office block stretches up into the clear blue LA sky. A pretty dark-haired teenager strolls into the offices of Paul Kersey and Associates, architectural consultants. She finds Kersey by a model of a building.
Working hard, huh?
Hi, Erica.
Is this your design for the new art center?
Yep.
All right, it must be a real charge to look at a building and know you designed it.
It is.
I did some new drawings.
Let me see them.
She opens her artwork folder. Some papers fall on the floor and she quickly picks them up, looking edgy and uptight.
You feeling okay?
Yeah, sure. What do you think?
Paul looks through Erica's drawings. The first one is an architectural-style side view of a house.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah?
The next is a bungalow.
Yeah, not great, but pretty damn good.
She smiles.
Hold on a minute.
Kersey answers a call from an attractive blonde woman.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, everything's fine. Erica's here.
Oh, thanks for taking the time to work with her. Thanks.
Oh, she's a pleasure.
Very talented girl, too. Which reminds me, the article you wrote on battered wives, good story?
Yeah, did you really like it? Did it make you angry?
Absolutely.
Are you still coming over for dinner?
Sure.
I'll be leaving here about 6.
Bye.
The woman, Karen Sheldon, hangs up. That night, a young guy in a sports car stops outside Karen's house.
Be home by 10:30.
10:30?
11.
Mom! That's right, you gotta go.
Now, when I say 11, I mean 11.
All right. You know, if I were you guys, and with me out of the house, I'd forget the movie and stay home.
Oh, yeah? Get out of here.
Bye.
Erica leaves and Kersey takes some plates over to the kitchen worktop. Erica gets into Randy's car.
How are you doing?
Great.
Kersey watches through the front window of the house as Randy takes a drag on a cigarette, then hands it to Erica. She takes a drag and they speed off. Ah! Kersey hangs his head sadly and turns away. Randy parks the car outside a fairground shooting gallery. He and Erica get out and hold hands as they head into an amusement arcade. They walk through the video gamers and approach a dark-haired, olive-skinned man in his 30s. The man wears a casual powder blue jacket and stands by a pinball table, talking to a young guy in a khaki coat.
Yo, my man, what do you think I am? Starvation Army? It's okay. You don't play.
Come on, man. Come on, Jojo, come on.
You heard what the man said. You don't have any cash, so take a walk.
Jojo sees Randy and Erica approaching and glances at his buddy Jesse, who wears a tweed jacket over a plaid shirt and tie.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, man?
So long.
Oh, there. Look at her. Oh, she's cute. Come on, let's have a look, chat.
Can I be right with you?
Meanwhile, we got some business to discuss.
We do? Thank you very much.
What you guys got planned for this evening?
Jojo and Erica.
Erica, I got some special chips for you.
Hey, just like I promised.
He puts a small bag of pills in her hand.
You're gonna love them.
Thanks.
Hey, remember, there's just enough for you, so don't be telling your boyfriend.
Yeah, sure.
At Karen's.
Movie starts at 8:30. 2-hour movie. It means we can get back here before Erica gets home.
Good.
What do you think about that boy, Randy?
Well, he does well in school. He's a nice kid. Why?
Well, I was just worried about Erica. I feel toward her like she were my own daughter.
That's nice. She feels the same way about you. She loves you. So do I.
And I love you both. And we better go, or we'll miss the beginning of the movie.
No, no. You are not getting out of this conversation that easily. We've been going out for 2 years now. And
you want a commitment?
Yeah. I would like that. Hello. Yes.
Karen suddenly looks worried.
Oh, my God. Randy, what's going on?
Mrs. Sheldon, I'm Dr. Rosenblatt.
What happened to my daughter?
She's had a cocaine overdose.
That's ridiculous. Erica doesn't use drugs.
I'm afraid she did tonight.
Code blue in room 6.
Doctor, she's arrested with no pulse.
She get her Narcan and glucose?
Yes, sir. 4 inches. No response.
You can't come in here. You have to wait outside.
Karen and Kersey are ushered out of an emergency room. The door is closed and they look in through a small window. The doctor lays defibrillator paddles on Erica's chest and shocks her. Karen grimaces while a nurse massages Erica's chest. More equipment is brought in and Erica is shocked again.
Everybody up! Clear! Continue, she's still fibrillating. Let's give her lidocaine, 75 milligrams IV push.
One.
Kersey shepherds Karen away from the door. The doctor shines a light into Erica's eyes.
We lost her.
His head bowed, the doctor walks out of the emergency room.
Mrs. Sheldon?
He talks to Kersey and Karen. Karen holds her head in her hands, and Kersey hugs her. The Bourbon House and gets into his yellow sports car. Parked behind him in a dark blue sedan, Kersey watches him pull away, then starts his engine and follows him. Randy drives to the fairground, parks outside the amusement arcade and gets out. Kersey parks up behind Randy's car. Randy marches through the arcade and grabs Jojo. Jojo pushes him off. Kersey comes into the arcade and watches Randy and Jojo. Jojo grabs Randy and bundles him out through a fire exit. Kersey runs after them and tries to open the door, but it's locked. Jojo leads Randy over to the Dodgems.
Man, it ain't my fault about your girlfriend. This stuff is probably just too strong for her. Oh, shit! Oh, shit! You killed her!
Kersey heads towards the arcade exit.
I didn't kill anybody. Do nobody falls to the smoker. That was her choice, my boy.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the cops got to say about that, huh? Yeah.
Jojo grabs him.
What is this supposed to mean, man? What is this supposed to
mean? You figure it out, smart boy. Figure it out. You're the one that gave her the special package. I'm going to the police and I am going to tell them every goddamn thing I know.
Kersey charges out of the arcade.
Read my lips. Cops, policemen, and you're going to die like she died.
So white ass, I'm a man.
With Jojo's arm around his neck, Randy goes limp. Jojo drags him around the back of the arcade and drops his body. In his hand is a knife dripping with blood.
Hey!
Jojo sees Kersey, pulls a gun and fires. Kersey ducks the shot and chases after Jojo, who climbs a metal ladder fixed to a wall. Kersey climbs the ladder and sees Jojo running across a rooftop. Kersey draws his pistol and fires, blasting Jojo onto the electrified mesh above the Dodgems. Jojo, a hole in his chest, shakes and twitches as the electricity pulses through him. Kersey quickly climbs back down the ladder. Later, police are on the scene and two detectives are talking.
Jojo was a dealer. He gets into a hassle with this kid, Randy Viskovich. Steps him in, gets shot by another dealer.
Why?
Who knows? These clowns don't need a reason to kill each other.
Sergeant Ryder?
Yeah?
This kid saw the guy did a shooting, not his face. But the car he drove away in.
Yeah.
It was a Tornado. Blue Tornado.
Get the license.
Not the last three numbers. It was 226.
You sure that's all you remember?
Man, I ain't a fucking detective, man. You are.
Come on. Nice kid. So, Phil, go play detective.
Right.
Kersey's blue sedan turns onto the driveway of his smart, white suburban home. The garage door opens automatically, and he drives in. Kersey steps through his front door and spots an A4 envelope lying on the floor. Kersey picks up the envelope and opens it as he walks up the stairs. Inside is a note with, "I know who you are," written in black marker pen. He puts the note down and answers the phone.
Hello?
Mr. Kersey?
Yes?
Did you get my note?
Who is this?
I think we should meet to discuss something of mutual interest.
I'm not going anywhere until I know who this is and what the hell it is you want.
If you refuse, I'm going to tell the police everything I know, and I know quite a lot. Do I have your attention now? Good. If you'll take a look out your window, you'll see a limousine parked out front.
Kersey steps over to his window and looks out. On the street, a chauffeur stands beside a black limousine.
I'm looking forward to our meeting.
Kersey lowers his hand and slowly puts the receiver back on the telephone cradle. The black limo drives up to an elegant country mansion and parks in front of a white Rolls Royce. The chauffeur shows Kersey into the mansion and leads him up a hallway. The chauffeur brings Kersey into a study and announces him to a grey-haired man sitting behind a desk.
Mr. Kersey.
The chauffeur leaves.
Good evening, Mr. Kersey. Or should I say, Mr. Vigilante.
Listen. If this is about blackmail, you're wasting your time. This place must be worth more than what I can make the rest of my life.
Do you have any idea who I am?
Should I?
Does the name Nathan White mean anything to you?
You own a newspaper.
It's not your money I'm after, Kersey. It's your professional skill. I want you to kill someone for me.
White shows Kersey a painting of a woman and child.
My wife died in a car crash 10 years ago. My daughter, Lisa, became my whole life. Last year, she started college. Things were going wonderfully well. Then suddenly, everything changed. Her grades went downhill, she dropped out of school.
He looks down solemnly.
You see, she started using cocaine. 3 months ago, she died of...
White chokes back his emotions and turns away.
I know about your friend's daughter, Mr. Kersey. I also know that you shot the pusher who sold her the drugs. But I ask you, sir, what about the people behind him? How many children do we let them destroy before we say enough? Mr. Kersey, how many? I've spent a small fortune buying information on the major drug dealers in Los Angeles. I'll give you money, weapons, names, anything you want.
He slaps a file down on his desk and Kersey picks it up.
They're all murderers, Kersey. From the smallest street corner pusher to the fat cat at the top. Anybody connected with drugs deserves to die. They have to be stopped, Kersey.
I need a few days to think about this.
People wearing dark, solemn clothes walk towards a cemetery. Dressed in black, Kersey drives past with Karen.
When Michael died, Erica was only 5. I made a promise to her. And no matter what happened, she would always come first. I let her down. I was too involved with my work to see what was going on.
Kersey stops the car.
You've got to stop this and now. I know how you feel because I've been there. You think you should have done something different, but that's not so. It's not true. It's not your fault that Erica died. It's those damn drugs.
I'm so angry. I feel so helpless. I want to do something. I don't know what to do.
You're a writer. Write about it. Let people know about drugs. Just keep pounding on it.
They drive on. In the newspaper office, Karen stands in front of her editor's desk.
What was the story you wanted to do?
Drugs.
Aw, Karen, you know, everything...
I know I'm personally involved, but that's why I have to do it. I want to find out why she died. I want to find out who's responsible.
The trouble is that nobody cares. Everybody uses drugs nowadays. It's not just the street junkies anymore. It's everybody. Rich people, middle-class people, doctors, lawyers, secretaries. It's the new American way of life, Karen. They don't want to read about it. They already know about it, and they don't care.
If they don't care, we have to make them care.
Oh, come on, Karen.
Pat, this is important to me.
All right. But every step of the way, you've got to let me know what you're doing. I don't want the cops finding your body lying in an alley somewhere, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
An attendant shows Karen into a morgue.
You're sure you want to do this?
Yes.
Okay. I just hope you've got a strong stomach. What paper did you say you were with?
Tribune.
Now, you just want to see the ones that are drug-related, right?
Right.
18-year-old male died when his freebasing pipe exploded in his face. Did you want to see the body?
She nods faintly, and he leads her over to a gurney. He lifts the sheet on a body, and Karen stares down at the charred, blistered face of a dead young man. She purses her lips. The attendant walks over to another gurney.
19-year-old male robbed a liquor store to get money to buy drugs.
The attendant lifts the sheet on a young man with a bullet hole in his forehead.
17-year-old female died of a stroke from repeated cocaine use.
He lowers the sheet over the young woman.
13-year-old little girl. She was selling herself on the street to support her habit. And one of her customers slashed her throat.
13 years old?
He lifts the sheet off a blonde-haired child with a deep wound across her neck.
They're all children.
At the fairground, Jojo's buddy Jesse's selling drugs.
Hope you guys have a good time tonight. Enjoy yourselves, huh? You know where to come back to if you want some more.
Karen.
Well, hello, hello.
She shows him money.
Yeah. Hello, hello. Looks like you're going to have a party tonight. You came to the right place for your hors d'oeuvre, because I got the primest crime that money can buy.
I don't want that. I want information.
Brakes on the left. What kind of information?
Who does what? Who sells what? Who works for who?
What do you want it for?
Does it matter?
Well, you're no cop. You must be a reporter, is that it?
Look, if you're not interested, I'll just go someplace else, okay?
Hey, look, I didn't say I wasn't interested. The kind of information you're talking about is going to cost more. A lot more.
How much more?
This will be the last time we meet in my home. From now on, we've got to be extremely cautious. There are two major drug organizations in Los Angeles. One is headed by a man named Ed Zacharias. The other by two brothers, Jack and Tony Romero. Between them, they control 90% of the narcotics traffic in Southern California. Can you believe that? According to my sources, the pusher you shot works for Ed Zacharias. This is everything you'll need on the Zacharias-Romero organizations. Photos, biographies, everything. About a year ago, Jack and Tony decided to invade Zacharias' territory. It was the beginning of a gang war. Zacharias stepped in, quickly negotiated a truce. But you can take it from me. The fuse was lit. It's getting shorter.
Kersey stands up.
I'll handle this my own way. No interference from you.
All right.
I'm going to need a few things. You said you could supply me with weapons?
White pulls out a card.
This is the man to talk to. He'll give you everything you want.
Kersey slides the card into his breast pocket. The detectives are in the police station.
Detective Brewer, call for line 2.
You're not going to believe this. I just talked to forensics. They did a check on the 9mm slug that killed Jojo Ross.
You know, I can never do these damn puzzles.
It matches the slug found in the body of the mugger shot downtown 2 years ago.
So?
He was killed by the vigilante.
Come on, Phil. The vigilante retired years ago.
Looks like he's back.
You're telling me it was him in the tornado?
Just came over the computer. There are 28 blue tornadoes in the state with the last three numbers, 226. 9 of them are in L.A.
Jesus. Vigilante. Well, let's check him out.
Kersey's office.
Michael Eddy and a copy to David Buston.
Mr. Kersey?
Yeah.
I'm Sergeant Reiner. This is my partner, Sergeant Ozaki.
How can I help you?
We're talking to a number of people in this area as part of a routine investigation. I was wondering if you could tell us where you were last Tuesday evening, between the hours of 7 and 9.
Tuesday, I leave here about 6. And with the traffic and everything, I got home about 6:45.
So you were at home that night?
As far as I remember, yes.
Can someone confirm that?
I was alone.
I see. Do you own a gun, Mr. Kersey?
Nope.
Are you married?
Nope.
Divorced?
My wife and daughter are dead.
I'm very sorry. Car accident?
Nope.
Well, that's about it. Sorry to have bothered you.
Detectives Reiner and Nozaki leave.
So what do you think?
Oh, I think we better find out a little bit more about Mr. Paul Kersey.
In his office, Kersey tapes photos of the gang members onto his drawing board.
Ed Zacharias grew up in New York's South Bronx slum tenements. Took to the streets running errands for the mob when he was 12. Graduated to numbers and was recruited by the mafia. Committed his first murder when he was 19. Charming, delightful fellow. Loves his work and indulges his fantasies.
A party's going on at Zacharias' opulent house. Guests mill around drinking champagne. Others play tennis on a court, and many more relax in and around the swimming pool. A cake's wheeled over to 50-ish Zacharias, who has thick, swept back black hair and wears a casual blue jumper and black trousers. The cake has a topless woman in stockings and suspenders drawn on it in icing, two candles stuck on her nipples. Zacharias takes a deep breath and blows out the candles, but one on the woman's breast remains lit. Zacharias picks it up, puts it out on his tongue, and eats it with a smile.
Champagne?
We're going to need some more ice.
Okay, they want champagne.
Kersey is one of the staff at the outdoor bar. Zacharias and an associate are eating cake.
How's the candle?
Better than the cake.
Oh, shit. Who invited them?
I did. It's my party, remember?
The Romero brothers and a couple of their men arrive. Bearded Jack Romero holds a present.
Jack, glad you could make it. Still playing babysitter, huh?
Hey, happy birthday.
Zacharias listens to the present.
Should I call the bomb squad?
A man comes over with the phone.
It's Alex.
Hold on.
You're
right. Hello? Hello? Yeah. What?
Kersey walks towards the house. Zacharias turns to his balding henchman.
Where's Vincent?
Went back to the tennis
court. Find him, bring him to the game.
Sure.
Kersey comes into Zacharias's games room. He puts down his bucket and picks up a telephone. He unscrews the mouthpiece of the receiver and slots in a listening device. Outside, Zacharias steps up to the Romero brothers.
Hey, Jack, Tony, I want to talk to you. Alone.
Jack, Tony, and another man follow Zacharias. Kersey screws the mouthpiece back onto the receiver and puts the phone back. Zacharias, the Romeros, and the other man head up the steps towards the house. Kersey walks over to another phone on the games room bar. He puts a listening device into that phone too, then glances around as Zacharias and the others approach. Kersey grabs his bucket and hides in a downstairs toilet. Zacharias, the Romeros, and the other guy walk into the games room.
What's this all about?
Somebody killed one of my pushers a couple of nights ago. A guy named Jojo Ross.
I was wondering if maybe you knew something about it.
Hey, we didn't touch your errand, boy.
Why don't you shut up?
Hey, just knock it off!
Jack yells at Tony, then turns to Zacharias.
I'm telling you, Ed. We don't know a damn thing about this.
You know, Jack, I'd hate for trouble to start between us again. A lot of people could get hurt. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're not looking for trouble. We want to keep the peace.
Good. Very good.
Two more guys come in.
Vincent! How you doing, lad?
Okay.
You know these fellas.
Yeah.
Jack, his little brother Tony.
Hey, Tom.
How you doing?
Okay. Good.
How about a drink?
Yeah, how about a screwdriver?
Nick? How was Columbia?
Oh, terrific. The women had great tans, tits out their hair, flopping all over. Hey, you ought to go down there.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Vincent, I talked to Alex. He said you were right. The shipping was light.
I know. I told you. I knew Rodriguez was scamming us, man. You can't trust any of them Colombians.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Hey, you want me to take care of it?
Oh, no. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of that fuck personally.
All right.
Zacharias stabs Vincent in the stomach with an ice pick.
Rodriguez was not skimming. You were.
Vincent collapses, the ice pick embedded in his gut. Zacharias turns to the Romeros.
Like I said, I don't like trouble.
Kersey had been watching through the toilet door, and they hear the door close. Zacharias and two of his men walk over to the toilet. Zacharias yanks the door open to find Kersey at the sink.
What are you doing in here?
I was just using the toilet.
Step out here.
Hands up, he walks out.
What's your name?
My name is Leo.
Well, Leo, you look like a pretty smart guy. If you keep your mouth shut about this, you can make yourself some money.
Yeah, right. I don't know nothing.
Good. Since you're here, why don't you help him carry out the body?
Kersey nods, and he and the balding gang member step over to Vincent's corpse. The gang member glances at Zacharias, who gives him a nod. Kersey notices the exchange as he and the gang member lift up the body. Kersey and the balding goon carry the body out and down a hallway to a garage. The goon opens the boot of a car and they drop Vincent inside. The goon reaches for his gun and Kersey whacks him in the chest with a tire iron. The goon falls forward and Kersey slams the lid of the boot down on his head. Kersey presses a button on the wall and the garage shutter slides open. Kersey walks out, then jogs away. Back in his office, he looks at the photos of the gang members.
Ed Zacharias' organization functions on the concept of fear. His main enforcers, Danny Marino, Art Sanella, and Jack Stein, were expensively recruited to execute this policy. They are efficient, always work together, and have a preference for Italian food.
Gino.
Good afternoon, my friends.
Are we too late for lunch?
We're always open for you, Mr. Marino. Nice to see you, Mr. Stein.
How are you?
Mr. Stanelli.
Wife and kids, how they doing?
Oh, they're fine, thanks. Come this way, I'll show you a table here.
Outside the Italian restaurant, Kersey sits in his car and opens a briefcase. Inside are four wine bottles. One of them doesn't have a label, and he takes it out. He unscrews the base of the bottle and sets a timer inside the fake bottle. He screws the base back on, then sticks a label onto the bottle. He puts the fake bottle into his case with the others, then closes the lid. In the restaurant, a waiter serves glasses of water to Marino, Sanella, and Stein.
Hey, kid, what's the water?
I'm sorry, Mr. Sanella.
Kid, get back in the kitchen.
Kersey saunters in with the case and steps up to the bar.
Hi. Afternoon, sir. What can I do for you?
My name is Jack Kimball. I represent the Sawtelle Winery. It's a new winery located up there in Napa Valley. I have a sample of the first pressing here. I thought maybe you'd like a taste. Have a glass handy?
Sure.
You ever been up in Napa Valley?
No, never been. Spend most of my time out here on the beach.
Beautiful country. You ought to take a trip up there sometime.
I will.
Tell me what you think.
The barman picks up the glass of red wine, looks at it, takes a smell, then drinks. He nods thoughtfully.
Not bad.
Let's see what your customers say.
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
They'll love it.
Kersey takes the bottle over to the gangster's table.
Gentlemen, it's your lucky day today. Bottle of wine on the house.
Hey, not bad.
Hey, don't I know you from someplace?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I know your face. Did you ever live in San Francisco?
I'm from Idaho.
Hey, I got a brother in Idaho. What city?
Boise.
Boise. I know you. I never forget a face.
Kersey throws a glass of water into Sanella's face, then bolts out of the restaurant as the fake bottle explodes. Zacharias' house.
What the fuck is going on?
I put the word out on the street.
And?
Nothing.
Bullshit.
Somebody's trying to push us out.
Maybe it's the Romeros.
Oh, no, no, no. They wouldn't dare.
Who else could it be?
I don't know. That's what I pay you for, to find out what's happening. So do your job, or I'll get somebody else.
Out in his car, Kersey's been listening in. He puts down his receiver and drives away. In his office, Kersey looks at a photo of a man in his 30s eating at an outdoor restaurant.
The head of the Romero street dealing operations is Max Green. Numerous arrests for pimping, child pornography, drug dealing, murder. No convictions. Witnesses against Max have a habit of disappearing. He is a resident of Vegas, but when in LA, he operates out of a video rental store on the west side.
Kersey walks into the video store and steps through a door marked Employees Only. In a quiet back room, he opens a case and takes out an Uzi machine pistol. He screws a silencer onto the barrel, then cautiously steps through a door marked Restricted Area, No Admittance.
Goddamn shipment here by Friday. I'm gonna personally call up his balls and make him eat them. You got that? Good.
In an office, Max Green hangs up the phone. Kersey glances at some guys in another room, then storms into the office, aiming his gun at Green.
What do you want?
You.
Hey, I didn't do nothing.
No, you just sell drugs to children.
Oh, come on, it's a business, man. I'm only a supplier, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't make the kids use drugs. It's their choice.
You don't do it, someone else will?
That's right. No, that's exactly right.
How many?
How many what?
How many children have you killed with this shit?
He throws bags of drugs at Green, then shoots him in the stomach. Men run out of the neighboring room and Kersey guns them down. Later, Reiner, Nozaki, and another detective are at the scene.
Six people dead in 48 hours. We got a gang war on our hands here.
Well, maybe we could just stand back and let the hairballs blow each other away.
Bodies all over the place don't make good press, and there's an election coming up.
Oh. Well, we could run one of these suckers for office.
Look, the Romeros lost three men this afternoon. Well, maybe they'll strike back. Who is their best shooter?
Frank
Bugs. Okay, stake him out. See what happens. Maybe we'll get lucky.
Look, Lieutenant, Phil and I have been after the vigilante, and we're getting close.
Forget the vigilante. This case has priority.
The Romeros.
Who does that punk Zacharias think he's playing with?
Doesn't make sense. Why would Zacharias hit us?
Because he's trying to start a war.
Somebody's knocking up his men, too.
Man, I don't believe that for one minute. You know what I think? I think Zacharias did it himself, and he's trying to pin it on us. He's playing us for suckers, Jack. He wants our territory.
I don't believe that. Because if there's war, he loses as much as we do.
Oh, come on, Jack, wake up! Zacharias is trying to jack us up. It's either him or us, and I say we blast him!
The number one hitman for the Romero brothers is Frank Boggs. One conviction for assault with intent to kill, served easy time. Those who know his reputation for violence would be surprised to learn that he's got a trained baritone voice. He is an upwardly mobile superachiever and lives in a condo on Wilshire Boulevard. If you can get to his phones, we'll have our leads.
God damn it! Will you hurry up? We're gonna be late.
My zipper's stuck.
That's because you eat like a damn horse. Drop some weight, why don't you?
Drop dead, why don't you?
In a corridor, Kersey steps through an emergency exit door and looks over at the door to Boggs' condo.
For Christ's sake, will you come on out of there?
Boggs' girlfriend swans over to him wearing a sparkly red dress.
Well, how do I look?
Like shit.
Stick it up your kazoo.
Just shut up and let's go.
Boggs, who wears a black dinner suit and bow tie, takes her arm and walks her to the door. Kersey ducks back into the emergency exit as they come out.
What do you mean you don't like my
dress?
Look,
I'm getting tired of your mouth. You didn't know that. I told you the dress was tacky.
The one you picked out had purple roses on it.
The one I picked out was better for you. You look like a giant rooster in that one. You wouldn't have been in there so long. It's easy to put on.
This one's easier to take off. What are you complaining about?
I don't know.
They get into a lift. Kersey takes a set of lockpicks out of his jacket pocket and crouches down in front of Boggs' door. Detectives Reiner and Nozaki are parked outside the condo building.
So he put the gun in his mouth and pulled the trigger. And guess what?
What?
The asshole forgot to load it.
Oh, come on, Sid.
No, I swear to God. Mafia hitman and he forgot to load his gun.
Kersey has picked the lock and steps into Boggs' condo. Reiner and Nozaki see Boggs and his girlfriend come out of the building.
Here they are, folks. Mr. and Mrs. Scumbag.
I hate the opera. Why do we gotta go to the opera anyway?
I like the opera, all right?
They don't even sing in English. At least they could sing in English.
How would you know? You don't even speak English.
Fuck you and the horse you rode in on.
You already did.
You came in second. Do you remember the tickets?
Boggs checks his pocket.
Damn. Hey, Joey, hold on a second. I gotta go back.
You'd forget your head if it wasn't screwed on.
I'll be right back.
Don't hurry.
What the hell?
Reiner looks puzzled. Kersey looks around Boggs' luxuriously decorated condo. He reaches down to a telephone. Boggs goes back into the building. Kersey hides a listening device in the telephone's mouthpiece. Boggs steps out of a lift and walks down the corridor. Kersey walks over to another telephone on a bar. He fits a listening device into the phone as Boggs approaches the condo. Kersey hears Boggs' key in the lock and hides. Boggs steps into his condo and senses that something's not right. He glances around and pulls a pistol from under his jacket. He walks into the middle of his living area and looks around. He cocks his gun. Outside in the limo.
Hey, Joey, you got a light?
Joey, the chauffeur, lights Boggs' girlfriend's cigarette.
I thought he was in such a hurry. He's probably in the john playing with himself.
Holding his pistol poised, Boggs stalks down his hallway and glances into the unlit kitchen. He moves on, opens another room and points his gun inside. Boggs returns to the kitchen and turns on the light. In the reflection of the oven door, he sees Kersey hiding around a corner.
Come on out, asshole. Come on out!
Kersey emerges, hands up.
What the fuck are you doing here?
I was making a sandwich.
Kersey yanks open the oven door onto Boggs' shins, then punches him. Kersey runs through the living area and tries to get to the door, but Boggs tackles him. He throws Kersey onto the floor and kicks him in the face. Kersey tries to get up, and Boggs kicks him again. Boggs kicks Kersey hard in the side.
Now, you're gonna tell me what the fuck you're doing.
As Boggs takes off his jacket, Kersey headbutts him in the stomach, sending him smashing into his big screen TV. With blood running into Boggs' eyes, Kersey grabs him and slings him into a shelving unit. Kersey slams a stool into Boggs' back. He smashes through a window and falls over the balcony.
He's such a jerk. I wish he'd dropped dead.
Boggs plummets down onto the bonnet of the limo.
Christ.
Reiner and Nazaki run over.
Hold it!
Reiner gets Boggs' keys and goes over to Joey, the chauffeur.
What's the apartment number?
You got 1 second!
1201, all right?
Good boy. Check out anybody suspicious leaving the building.
Reiner heads into the building. Kersey makes his escape through the emergency exit. Reiner runs down the corridor, gun in hand, and unlocks Boggs' condo. He steps inside and looks around at the smashed furniture. Kersey strolls out of the building and walks over to his car. Nozaki watches as Kersey gets into his car and starts it up. Nozaki clocks Kersey's license plate, ending in 226. Kersey drives away, and with a faint smile, Nozaki walks back to the building as Reiner comes out.
See everybody?
No.
I'll go call it in.
Reiner walks off. In a quiet cinema, Kersey buys a ticket and strolls past a snack counter. He steps into an auditorium, which is about a quarter full. Sitting alone near the back is Nathan White. Kersey sits down beside White.
According to my sources, Zacharias uses an old fish cannery in San Pedro to process and move his drugs.
Workers mill around, chatting on a dockside.
This operation feeds his organization and is dependent upon regular shipments of raw cocaine from South America. Interrupt this supply and we can tear out his guts. So the lunch break between 11:30 and 12 is a good time for you to mingle with the workers. The factory is in two parts. First, which is a front, does in fact process fish, mainly for the pet food market. It even makes a profit for Zacharias, largely employing unskilled labor on daily hire basis. So the access to this area should be straightforward. Getting to the second will not be so easy.
Carrying a lunchbox, Kersey goes into the cannery with the workers. He glances around the vast factory, then goes up a flight of metal stairs. Kersey strolls along an upper walkway and looks down at the workers on fish processing lines. A tall, shaven-headed man in a white coat signs a document on a clipboard, then hands it to a guy in a hard hat. The shaven-headed man glances up and sees Kersey on the walkway. He frowns and intercepts Kersey as he comes down another flight of steps.
Hey! Where do you think you're going? What the hell are you doing here? What section are you in?
I don't know. I was just hired.
What's your name?
Name is Kimball.
Kersey shakes the man's hand, then pulls him forward, knees him in the groin and chops him in the neck, knocking him out. Kersey opens his metal lunchbox, takes out an Uzi machine pistol, and heads off around a corner. Two men are in an office. One of them stands up and spots Kersey wandering around among the plastic storage drums and metal shelving units. Kersey watches a man in a black suit talking to a guy in a van.
You the last one, Tony? Why, you want to leave or something? You got it.
The man in the suit flicks a switch, opening a set of metal double doors. The van drives through, and the man promptly closes the doors again and locks them. The man watching Kersey comes out of the office. Kersey walks over to the man by the metal doors.
Hold it. You don't belong in here.
Well, I was told to put this in there.
Here, lunch.
Oh! Kersey smashes the man across the face with the metal lunchbox, then glances around cautiously. He slides open one of the metal doors a crack and peers through. A man in a white apron takes a large fish out of the back of the van and lays it on a table. Another man, also wearing apron, goggles and gloves, sets about slicing the fish along its belly. He reaches inside the fish and pulls out a clear bag of white powder. Another man wearing goggles and a mask over his mouth places a jar of white powder onto a shelving unit filled with packets of powder. The man who'd been watching Kersey looks around for him and spots him spying on the drug lab.
Hey, you!
Before the man can shoot, Kersey guns him down with his Uzi. Kersey shoves the metal door open and sprays bullets into the drug lab, shattering jars, bursting packets, and killing all the men in there. White powder fills the air as the drug technicians are blasted off their feet by Kersey's gunfire. Cannery workers leave their processing lines and run.
Get that son of a bitch now! It's $1,000 for the man who nails him! Move, move, move! I
Kersey throws a bomb into the lab.
1,000 bucks! Get that son of a bitch now!
Kersey runs across a loading bay, then looks up as cannery workers swarm towards him, taking cover behind shelves and containers. Keeping his Uzi poised, Kersey backs away tensely. A long-haired man in a suit shoots at him. Kersey makes to return fire, but his Uzi is out of bullets. He throws himself to the floor. The bomb goes off in the drug lab, and the cannery workers duck. Kersey makes a run for it, as a second blast blows more workers off their feet. Kersey shoves containers and shelves out of his way and clubs workers with his gun. A worker's standing by a pickup truck and swings a tire iron at Kersey but misses. Kersey chops him in the neck, throws him into some plastic drums and jumps behind the wheel of the truck. Kersey powers the truck forward and smashes through some doors. Workers run out of the cannery and can only watch as Kersey speeds off in the pickup. At the police station, Detective Nozaki has a list of names and addresses. He draws a circle around Kersey's, then stares pensively at the list. A helicopter stands on a stretch of lawn outside Zacharias's house. Zacharias and an associate, Nick, come out of the house and walk towards the helicopter as a white convertible drives over. Zacharias gives his briefcase to Nick, who goes to the helicopter. Nozaki gets out of the convertible, and Zacharias steps over to him.
What are you, crazy? You're not supposed to come to this house.
It's important. I think I know who's been giving you trouble.
Does he work for the Romeros?
Not as far as I can tell. He also killed Boggs.
Then who does he work for?
I don't know.
We'll find out. When you do, you kill
him. I don't do that.
You do now.
Zacharias sneers at Nozaki and walks over to the helicopter. Kersey's working late in his office. One of his employees looks in through the open door.
I'm leaving now, Mr. Kersey. Good night.
Good night. See you in the morning.
He turns back to his drawing board. The woman walks out of the offices. Kersey lowers his glasses and looks up as Detective Nozaki walks into his office.
Good evening, Mr. Kersey.
Sergeant?
Nozaki nods.
What can I do for you?
I just wanted to drop by and see how you're doing. Since we didn't have a chance to say hello the other night at Frank Boggs' place.
Nozaki draws a pistol and screws a silencer onto the barrel. He smiles at Kersey.
You've made a lot of people unhappy, Mr. Kersey. Especially Ed Zacharias. He asked me to deliver his message of distress personally.
You work for Ed Zacharias?
Being a cop's too dangerous. I want to take an early retirement and he pays well. No. I don't have to kill you. I just want to know who you are working for. I know it's not the Romeros. Who is it?
I don't work for anybody. This is my work.
Don't play games with me. I can make this scene really painful. Or I can walk out of here. All I need is a name.
I don't have a name.
Nozaki cocks the gun and aims at Kersey.
It can be very, very nasty if I want to.
Kersey shoots Nozaki through the drawing board.
So can I.
Blood drenching his shirt, Nozaki lifts his head, then slumps back. Next morning, Detective Reiner drives onto a quiet road flanked by trees and bushes and parks up. Police cars and officers are already there. Reiner gets out of his brown sedan and walks over to Lieutenant Higuera.
I'm off duty, Higuera, and I'm missing my beauty sleep. So what's so goddamn important?
A jogger found the body. It was hidden on the side of the trail.
Oh, another piece of shit in your favorite gang war?
It's Phil Nozaki.
Phil? How?
Looks like one shot through the chest. I'm sorry.
Reiner stares uncomprehendingly at Higuera, then walks over to some other detectives. Later, Reiner's in Higuera's office.
So somehow, Phil Nozaki figured out who the vigilante is?
And the vigilante killed him.
How did he find out?
Phil and I were checking out a list of suspects from the DMV computers. When I went to Phil's desk this morning, I found the list. With one name circled on it.
He gives it to Higuera.
Paul Kersey?
I did some checking. The guy's wife was killed by burglars in New York in 1975. Then in 1981, his daughter was raped and murdered in L.A. I think Kersey's our man. I want a warrant.
I don't know. This is very little to go on. We'd have trouble convincing a judge.
Damn it, Higuera. He killed Phil Nozaki. I know he did. I want him.
Nozaki is dead. I'll lay you 10-1 it was the Romeros.
No. Nozaki said it was somebody else.
Yeah.
Who? I don't know.
Somebody's trying to play us off against each other.
Hello? Let me talk to Jack. Please.
Who is it?
It's Zacharias.
The man gives the phone to Jack Romero.
Zacharias. Yeah, this is Jack.
Jack, we need to talk.
Yeah, why?
I think we're being set up. We'd better meet.
All right, where?
How about Antonio's?
No, you're crazy. You own Antonio's. No, it's got to be a neutral territory.
All right, how about the oil fields? Around 5:00.
We'll be there.
Jack hangs up and turns to his brother, Tony.
He wants a meeting.
I don't trust him. I think it's a setup.
We'll be prepared.
Pumping rig slowly rises up and down on a stretch of dry, dusty ground overlooking the city. Two pairs of dark limousines drive onto the oil field and park on opposite sides. Zacharias and his men get out of one pair of limos, and the Romeros and their men get out of the other limos. The gang members are all heavily armed with automatic weapons. Kersey, holding a high-powered rifle, crouches on a high scrubland slope, watching the rendezvous. Zacharias and the Romero brothers stare at each other across the oil field. Zacharias steps forward first, followed by Nick. The Romeros walk forward too, and meet Zacharias in the middle of the oil field. Kersey peers at them through the telescopic sights of his rifle.
Wanted to talk? Talk.
Jack, a lot of things have happened in the last few days. A bunch of my men have been killed.
Get to the point.
I think someone's trying to play us off against each other.
What the hell are you talking about?
Somebody wants me to go after you and you go after me.
Well, what?
Don't listen to that trash, Jack. He's just trying to mop his way out of it.
I'm talking to Jack.
There isn't anybody else. It's you! You're the one trying to screw us over.
God damn it, Jack. Can't you see? That's exactly what he wants you to think.
You're lying! What, do you think we're crazy? You keep messing with us, Zacharias, and we're gonna bury you! Tony!
Kersey shoots Jack in the arm.
Jack!
It's a setup!
The gangsters open fire on each other as they back away towards their respective cars. Jack Romero is blasted in the chest. Kersey watches from his vantage point as gang members from both sides are gunned down in the crossfire. Tony Romero runs across the oil field, spraying bullets from a machine pistol into Zacharias's cars. Zacharias and a few of his men run down a dusty slope and race towards a pickup truck with oil drums on the back. Kersey fires his rifle and the drums explode, blowing up the truck. The last few gangsters are gunned down, one of them smashing head first through a limo window. Zacharias runs away from the battle. Nick gets into a car. Nick speeds off, abandoning Zacharias. Zacharias, wearing a black suit and tie, runs across the industrial wasteland. Tony Romero runs onto a high ridge and shoots at him. Kersey aims his rifle at Tony's back and fires. Tony collapses. Zacharias is still desperately running. Kersey aims the crosshairs of his sights at Zacharias's legs. Kersey shoots Zacharias in the leg, and he collapses in pain. Kersey lowers his gun and heads down the slope. Zacharias gets to his feet and sees Nick driving away.
Nick!
Kersey, cradling the rifle in his hands, strides across the oil field, past dead gangsters and shot-up cars. Zacharias sees him approaching. Kersey, his finger still cocked around the trigger of the rifle, rests the barrel against his shoulder as he walks. Alone and helpless, Zacharias gets to his feet and slowly limps away. He stumbles over and gives up. Kersey paces up to Zacharias and stands over him.
Who are you?
I'm the guy that set you up.
Why?
Kersey takes a photo of Erica out of his pocket.
I don't even know the girl.
I do.
Kersey shoots Zacharias through the heart. He walks off past the burning pickup truck. Detective Reiner's with Lieutenant Higuera in the police station.
While you were playing hide-and-seek with your friend Kersey last night, Zacharias and the Romeros were playing war over in the oil field.
Come on, Lieutenant. Do you think anybody really cares that those slime bags killed each other? The way I see it, they saved the taxpayers some money.
Look, Kersey's lawyer called the chief this morning. He's threatening to sue us.
He's trying to get us to back off. I'm telling you, Kersey's our man. I feel it in my gut.
Look, you took your shot and you blew it. Now stay away from Kersey. That's an order.
Nathan White's on the phone to Kersey.
I've been reading about the job you did. Congratulations.
Well, at least Zacharias and the Romeros won't be killing kids with their drugs anymore.
Thank God. There's something I would like to talk to you about. Is it possible to meet at the Brentwood Golf Course at the White Towers about 8?
I'll be there.
It's a dark night as Kersey drives his dark blue sedan along a quiet road. He stops by a limousine parked near some vast storage tanks. Kersey gets out of his car and walks over to the chauffeur standing beside the limo. The chauffeur opens the back door and Kersey looks inside.
Where's White?
I'm to take you to him.
He said he'd meet me here.
He had this important business to take care of.
Kersey hesitates for a moment, then gets into the back of the limo. The chauffeur closes the door, then walks away. Kersey looks through the windscreen and sees the chauffeur walking off into the night.
Hey!
A car pulls up and the chauffeur gets in.
Hey!
The car drives away. Kersey tries to open the limo door, but it's locked. The other door's also locked, and a glass partition prevents him from climbing into the front seats. Kersey draws his pistol and shoots out the rear window. He climbs out, rolls off the boot of the limo, and runs. The limousine explodes in a huge ball of fire. Kersey screeches his sedan to a halt outside Nathan White's mansion. He gets out and pounds on the large wooden doors. A butler answers.
How did you get past the front gate? This happens to be private property.
I want to see Nathan White.
Mr. White is not available.
He is to me.
Kersey points a gun under the butler's chin and steps inside. An elderly man's in the drawing room.
I'm sorry, sir, but he has a gun. What's the meaning of this?
I told you I wanted to see Nathan White.
I am Nathan White, and who the hell are you?
You? You're Nathan White?
I ought to know my own name.
Who was the man that was in here last week?
Oh, there was no one here last week. I've been in Europe for 3 months.
Kersey stares at him, dumbfounded. Kersey's driving down a street when a police cruiser flashes its roof lights for him to stop. Kersey turns a corner and pulls up on the side of the road. Two cops get out of the police car and swagger over to Kersey's sedan.
Get out of the car.
He gets out and is pushed front first against his car.
What'd I do? I just thought...
Well, well, well.
The cop finds a gun.
You're under arrest, Mr. Kersey.
What for?
Murder.
Who is it I'm supposed to have killed?
The homicide detective downtown will explain that to you. Let's go. Come on, in the car. In the car. Back.
Handcuffed Kersey is bundled into the back of the police car. The cops drive through town with Kersey in the back behind a metal mesh grille. Kersey looks at his cuffs.
Hey, if you're taking me downtown, why are we going west?
Why don't you just shut up?
Kersey leans forward to the cop in the passenger seat.
Don't I know you from the Sunset police station?
Could be.
That's what I thought.
Kersey starts slamming his foot into the mesh partition.
Shoot the son of a bitch!
Okay, I'm just out of range right there!
The cops cower as the partition caves in onto them. The driver loses control and the police car flips over on a parked car. It slams down onto its side and skids along the road before rolling over onto its roof. Kersey's feet slide out through the back window, and he crawls out of the car. his hands still cuffed together. He tries to open the driver's door, but it's jammed. Finally, he prizes it open and gets the handcuff keys from the motionless fake cop. Kersey unlocks the cuffs from both his wrists, then takes the bogus cop's gun. The fake Nathan White smokes a cigar and talks on the phone.
Are you fucking deaf? I said everything's great. Except the whole operation showed up in a few months. Most of Zacharias' street dealers are ready to work for us. Romero boys are breaking our balls, but don't worry, we'll push them in line. We want our first shipment in a couple of days. I'll talk to you then, goodbye.
He strides over to the dazed-looking fake cop.
How did you let Kersey get away, huh?
We made a mistake.
Mistake! Come on, get out of here. Go on! Get out of here! Asshole!
Something wrong?
Yeah. Kersey's still alive, that's what's wrong.
Yeah, so what? He can't hurt us. He doesn't know anything.
He knows enough to put the cops onto us, don't he?
You worry too much.
Look, stupid. Your boss is dead and I'm alive because I'm smarter than he was. And that's why you came to work for me, and don't you forget it. As long as Kersey's breathing, he's dangerous.
What do you want me to do?
We need an edge. Something to make Kersey come to us.
In the newspaper offices.
Karen Sheldon.
Yeah, this is Jesse.
I've got some information I think you'll be real interested in.
About that shootout in the oil field last night?
What about it?
Who do you think I am, the answer man? This is going to cost you.
Well, it better be worth it. Where should I meet you?
I'm in the parking lot behind your office.
Look for the red Mazda RX-7.
Karen puts the phone down. Jesse hangs up and turns to the fake White, who smiles and puts down the phone he'd been listening in on. Karen walks through the newspaper office and steps out through a rear door. Suddenly, a man grabs her and bundles her across the parking lot to a waiting van. He throws her inside and the van speeds off. He steps through his front door, then locks it behind him and turns on the light. He climbs the stairs to his living room.
Hello, Kersey.
Reiner's in a chair.
Put your hands up. Real high. Come over here.
Hands in the air, Kersey steps towards him.
Turn around.
Kersey turns round. Gun in hand, Reiner frisks Kersey and takes his automatic pistol. He holsters his own gun and points Kersey's pistol at him.
You killed a cop, Kersey. Not just any cop. My partner. Now I'm gonna kill you.
Ooh, no. Your partner was dirty.
Bullshit.
He worked for Ed Zacharias.
You're lying!
He swipes Kersey around the face.
He was gonna kill me.
What for?
Kersey sits.
Your partner knew I was setting up Ed Zacharias and the Romeros to kill each other.
You engineered that whole thing at the oil field.
Yes, I'm the vigilante, remember? When your partner found out, he told Zacharias, and Zacharias told him to kill me.
I don't believe one word you're saying, Kersey. Phil Nozaki was a good cop.
Check a safety deposit box. You'll find a lot of cash in it.
You're a goddamn liar.
Hi, this is Paul. I'm not near the phone right now, so leave a message, and I'll get back to you.
Hello, Kersey.
Guess who? A friend of yours wants to say hello.
Paul, they say they won't hurt me as long as you do what they say. Paul, I'm scared. I'm so scared.
Kersey, do you want your lady friend to end up dead like Erica? Yes, I was responsible. So you better join us at the Sunset Roller Rink, underground garage, Area 16.
Let me pick it up.
Don't you move.
You've got nice taste in women, Kersey. Very nice taste.
The hell with you.
Hello.
Put down that phone.
Hello.
Kersey clubs Reiner across the hand with the phone receiver, then punches him in the face, knocking him cold. Kersey picks up his gun and walks through to the kitchen. He slides the fridge away from the wall to reveal a safe. Kersey opens the safe, which is full of all kinds of assault weapons. He puts three grenades in his pocket, then picks up a high-powered rifle with a grenade launcher mounted under the barrel. He closes the safe and slides the fridge back into place. Kersey drives along a nighttime city street. Back in the apartment, Detective Reiner slowly comes to. Reiner sits up and feels his tender jaw. He looks around. Kersey turns right into an underground car park. He drives down onto a lower level. In the apartment, Reiner hauls himself to his feet, picks up the phone and dials. Kersey's sedan turns onto a parking level and stops. Kersey stays behind the wheel and scans the shadowy level. The fake White sits in the passenger seat of a parked car, with Jesse in the driver's seat and Nick in the back. Fake White holds a walkie-talkie to his ear.
What's he doing?
Nothing. He's just sitting.
Flash.
Jesse flashes the car's headlights, and Kersey spots them on the next level down. Kersey's car slowly coasts down the ramp towards Fake White's car.
Here he comes.
Fake White watches Kersey's car approach and talks into his walkie-talkie.
Take him.
A van suddenly pulls out in front of Kersey's car, which bumps into its side. Three gunmen jump out of the van and pepper Kersey's car with bullets from machine guns and a pump-action shotgun. Fake White jumps out of his car and grins excitedly as hundreds of bullets rip into Kersey's car. The gunman with the shotgun steps over to Kersey's car and peers through the window.
He's not here! It's empty!
Behind a pillar, Kersey fires his grenade launcher and blows up the van. Fake White stares at the explosion. Frightened Jesse drives away. Fake White furiously fires his machine pistol at him. Kersey fires his grenade launcher at Jesse, blowing up the car. Fake White gazes wide-eyed.
Jesus Christ.
Fake White and Nick run through a doorway. They race up a flight of stairs towards a roller rink. The rink floor is filled with people dancing and gliding around on roller skates. Kersey runs past the burning vehicles and looks at the doorway Fake White and Nick escaped through. Fake White and Nick walk into the lively roller rink. Kersey runs across the parking lot to the doorway. At the roller rink, Fake White steps up to a couple of his men lurking in a corner.
Alert everyone. Right. Where's the girl?
She's in the power room.
Up the garage. Key. Cover the fire exit.
One of the men gives Fake White a set of keys and he unlocks a door. Rifle in hand, Kersey heads up the stairs to the roller rink. Nick's on a walkie-talkie.
67, me on the alert for Kersey. I repeat, me on the alert for Kersey. He jumped us. Cover the garage exit.
Head there now.
Another goon heads off. Skaters form a conga line on the rink floor, while Fake White's goons keep their eyes peeled for Kersey. Fake White strides into the power room, where Karen's been tied up and gagged. Gun in hand, Kersey pops his head into the roller rink and checks out the surroundings. Kersey ducks as one of the goons spots him and shoots. Kersey fires back with the rifle, killing the goon. In the power room, Fake White hears the shots. Skaters panic. Another one of Fake White's men shoots at Kersey with an Uzi. Kersey pops out from behind a video game and guns the goon down. Skaters fall over each other as they try to get to safety. Kersey shoots another of Fake White's men, then another, who falls through the safety fence and lands on the rink floor. In the power room, Fake White yanks off Karen's gag.
We're going out the back way. One word out of you and you don't see tomorrow. After I waste this maniac Kersey, maybe I'll let you go. Maybe. Let's go.
He drags her out. Terrified skaters swarm for the exit. Kersey spots one of Fake White's men hiding behind a video game and shoots him. Kersey stalks through the roller rink like a hunter. The panicking skaters vacate the rink. Kersey spots Fake White manhandling Karen down toward the rink floor level. Kersey doubles back and runs on to the empty rink floor. He can't see much through the smoke and disco lights. Fake White comes onto the rink floor, dragging Karen with him.
Kersey! I know you're there!
The colourful lights pan across the smoky rink floor. Kersey stalks closer.
I'm warning you! Keep away! Do it to me!
They face each other across the rink.
Back up! I'll kill her! I said stay back! I'll blow her brains out! I swear to God, I'll kill this bitch! You hear me?
He drags Karen to the side of the rink, and Kersey walks closer.
You work for me!
Fake White drags Karen off the rink floor. Kersey slowly and cautiously paces after them. Behind Kersey, Nick smiles and aims a magnum at his back. Kersey sees Nick's reflection in a mirror, turns, and guns him down. Fake White shoots at Kersey with a machine pistol, then bundles Karen through an emergency exit.
Stop
Kersey runs to the exit and pauses for a second before going through. Fake White drags Karen across a plaza.
Come on!
Kersey jogs behind them, his rifle cradled in his arms. He ducks behind a concrete planter as Fake White shoots at him. Karen claws Fake White's face and runs. He shoots her in the back. She falls to the ground in a heap. Fake White tries to re-cock his gun, but nothing happens. Kersey stands up from behind the planter and stares at Karen's body.
I warned you, I'd kill her!
Kersey aims his rifle at him.
I warned you! I'd kill her!
Kersey fires his final grenade, blowing Fake White into pieces. Kersey gazes down at Karen. Behind him, Detective Reiner aims his revolver.
Hold it, Kersey. Put down the gun.
Kersey doesn't look back and lets the rifle drop to the ground. He starts walking.
Stop right there!
God damn it, I'll shoot!
Do whatever you have to.
Kersey trudges away, and Reiner slowly lowers his gun. His eyes wide, and an overawed expression on his face, Reiner watches Kersey step onto a footbridge and walk away. ITFC audio description.